League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Unscreen Live, a very special Friday the 13th edition of our industry recap show. My name is Andrew Jupin. I'm about to bring in three dudes who are just like me, working for the weekend. We'll bring them in right now. First up, you know him, you love him, Steven Sadak.
Hey.
What's
hi.
Going? What is that? That's how you exercise these days? What is
that? that's about as much as I get, yeah.
Oh, and let's see. Speaking of exercise, this dude, no stranger to it, Eric Siska.
Hey. See, I'm doing it too.
There you go.
This is good.
Dude, yeah. It's like you're petting two horses.
Oh, yes. Lulu and Whiskey or whatever.
Oh, Schnelly, get over here and pet your sister Lulu.
Haven't been keeping up with the Arnold Menagerie for a while.
No, I wonder what that barnyard's got in store for us lately.
I'll have to check it out. Speaking of someone brought up in a barn, here he is, Mr. Chris Cabin.
It finally happened. We've been waiting for it.
He ran out of books.
To be fair, you were the first one to ever fall asleep on the air, Steve. I'll put that out there. Hey, Chris, wake up. Show to do, man.
Wake up.
57 minutes left here. Come on now. And it's a Friday. It's normally a Monday. You've already started hibernating for the weekend.
What?
Well, look at this guy. Look at this fucking
what
guy.
What a disaster.
What? Who?
Total fucking shit.
More like on screen dead.
What? Hey, guys.
Yeah, there we go. Great
Good
day.
Morning, sunshine.
Great way to get the energy going for the broadcast, Chris.
This broadcast? Oh, we're live. Oh,
yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
You're just
constantly rolling.
Rolling. House. In my house? Rolling on what?
Yeah, it's like here. This screen is just constantly going. We watch you sleep.
Oh, you got to
watch the British Truman walk Show. By in the past or whatever that happens in that movie.
If Chris starred as the Truman Show concept, the Truman Show would have been canceled.
No. Oh, no. I would be.
Oh, I'd he's sitting home set. Again?
Hey, it'd be much more interesting to watch Truman be like, I'm a salesman. I have a wife. Knife.
To watch Chris Cabin get balls deep in Laura Linney, I'd watch it. I'd watch that every week.
Just slamming that ass. Uh-huh,
exactly.
I don't know if Laura Linney would watch it. my own goodness.
Check this out. By the way, happy birthday to my mom.
Happy birthday.
Mom. That's right. Also today, December the 13th, some stuff had to have been number one at the box office. I want to check some of these out. First up, in 2009, you guys, a Disney animated film that got a lot of sad fucking racist white people upset. The Princess and the Frog.
Oh, right.
Oh, okay.
You dared have a black Disney princess. There was some fucking hillbillies that got upset about that.
I have no memory of this film.
I never saw it either, but I do remember the backlash. 2003, top of the box office today. Something's Gotta Give.
Ooh. Mm.
That's it's an old people are fucking movie.
Yeah.
Also known as You Gotta Do It. No, that's the I think that's
No, that's out. Not You Gotta Do It. Yes. It's whatever the last James L. Brooks movie
yes.
was.
Got it, yes.
That is which is also, I believe, the Jack's it is. Last theatrical movie.
How do you know is You Gotta Do
It? How do you know is You Gotta Do It?
There it is. God damn.
God, he's probably up for expiration soon, which is a bummer.
I mean, yeah.
Well, where we just got him when it wasn't last season, Steve. It was the season before when the Lakers were in the playoffs, and he went to. He was like, yeah, like photographed for the first time, like going to a couple of the games. Yeah,
expiration dates with people, Eric, is much like, especially rich people, is much like the supermarket. you can't really buy it. I mean, like, it's you probably don't want to do it after that, but like, really, you got another like couple weeks,
right? Oh, 87, he might be good till 88. I don't know.
you don't know.
Speaking of a movie that fucking expired in theaters, or I guess shortly thereafter, because it was at least number one today in 2014. Previous episode, Exodus.
Whoa.
Gods and Kings.
This was an episode of ours?
Was an episode?
No, we didn't do this.
We did
something else. What was the...
Gods of Egypt. Gods of Egypt.
So we did not do this movie? And so there's another movie called Gods of Egypt.
Yes.
Not this.
Hopefully this one still has this guy being, that's his size. He's just huge.
This is a Rid movie that I've
This is a Rid. Well, that's so annoying. Look at this poster. It just says from the director of Gladiator. How about from fucking Ridley Scott? Like that's.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Because they know people are fucking stupid, dude.
I know.
I do not
Who's
think
Ridley
I ever
Scott?
Saw
it. But the director of Gladiator.
This is one of the worst of his. Even like, I don't even think a director's cut could save this fucking thing.
Go back one more time for that poster.
Sure.
In December 18, Bioscoop in 3D. I don't know what that is.
Bioscoop.
I don't know why the majority of this poster is in English and then the bottom it's not. I don't know what
that's
the fuck.
Weird.
Actually, could you put it up again real quick?
Oh my god, yes.
Look at these twisters. Twins.
All right, I already called out the twins.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah.
I'm hungover.
It's fair.
Congratulations.
It's Friday. Dude. It's every Friday. You're hungover, right, Chet? Little
Thirsty Thursday happens sometimes.
I call it Little Friday.
A little Friday.
I call it Little Friday.
Mm-hmm.
That's so sad.
I like it.
I'm just going to have myself a Little Friday. Yeah. It's just a Little Friday.
Just get ready for Big Friday.
Today is Big Friday.
Big day today?
Mm-hmm. No.
Big Friday now. It was a big day in 04. One more movie here. At top of the box office. Ocean's 12.
Oh, can you pull up the Exodus poster? thank you.
No, and I actually lied. One more today in 2019, just months before the world ended, Jumanji the Next Level. I'd like to think that Jumanji 2 had something to do with it.
Absolutely. Is that horse talking or what? That's a prominent horse.
The horse talks. I don't remember. I completely forget
that movie.
Never seen a single Jumanji movie, and I'm totally
even the first
OG.
One.
No, I've seen the OG.
Oh,
OG
okay.
So you just lied to the American people.
I did.
Yes.
The first of those new movies is actually quite enjoyable.
I don't care for Dwayne Jumanji Johnson. I'm not in the mood for it.
Dwayne Jumanji Johnson, huh?
It is one of his biggest hits. Got to give it to him. That's one of his biggest hits.
That's a big one. Hey, so real quick, because it's not really the focus of today's show, but it is indeed Friday the 13th.
Mm.
This will be the first of two lightning rounds today. I'm just going to go around the horn here. So we'll do Steve, Eric, Chris, and then myself.
100 people have gotten up.
Yep. No. Ugh. No surveys.
Okay,
if someone was like, oh, you know what? Every Friday the 13th, I say to myself, I'm going to get into a Friday the 13th movie. And I never do. I've never seen one. If you had to recommend a starting place for someone, and here's the fun thing. If someone, so we'll start with, like I said, start with Steve. So I have the hardest part. You can't double up.
Okay.
So good starting points for the franchise.
I had a different answer because I was just thinking of like a fun one that I might actually even want that I just watched, but I won't say that. I think the first one is a great place to start. I think it's a great movie.
Okay.
I think it, the atmosphere is perfect. And it's actually a little Christmassy, I think, just because the mother is looking after, you know, her son kind of a thing,
some
you know.
Sweater,
yeah, sure.
Sweater porn in there.
Sweater porn in there. It's a little Christmassy.
Almost some real porn in there, too.
Pretty darn close.
I'll say this, Steve. That's a good call also, because if you're like, ooh, it might be a little too spooky for me, you can watch it and have some fun with our syncable commentary.
That's also true.
So look at that. All right, Eric Siska, entry point for the franchise.
Can you see this? Can you see it? My shirt up.
Nips. Oh.
Jason Lives, everyone.
Ooh. One of the better ones.
This is, you know, it's simple. It's right to the point. You get those great kills in, and it's basically the restart of the franchise where he's undead.
Right.
So all the modern, all the movies after that, follow that recipe.
Mm.
Right, totally. Excellent choice. Chris Cabin.
I'm going to have to go, since that is when it kind of re-ups, I will say three is where we really set what this thing is going to be.
I think three is solid. Yeah.
That's when he gets his mask. And we know we've settled all the mother stuff mostly. Yep. I mean, you know, not psychologically, but in the movie itself, we've settled that stuff. I do think that's a perfect way to start.
I like that. So I'm going to do a little bit of a left turn here. Maybe a Scotch unexpected. If you are a more like you're hip to like more modern horror or whatever, but you've never seen any of the OG stuff, that 2009 reboot is pseudo serviceable.
Boo! Wow. Look at this.
Boo! Especially if you're tuned in specifically to like how shit is ish, you know, or was fucking 15 years ago, I guess at this point, but like, you know, there's still a lot of really great kills and everything like that. Sure. So, you know, cause like, listen, there's a lot of younger folks out there who are like, movies made when?
Yes.
So this might be a little bit of like, you know, here, just take this, your little piece of candy, and then work backwards to classic shit like Jason X. Jason Goes to Hell the Final Friday.
I will say a couple of months ago at my favorite bar, they had that they had the remake on without sound, and I was enjoying it. So there, you know what I mean? And to that end. And also just really quick, because I'm just totally, can I see the Exodus poster one more time?
Bend over and I'll show you.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh my god. Oh,
I saw Jason, he's between the pyramids.
Folks, if you listen to this on audio, you're missing all these posters that are very sharp.
Well, you're missing I mean one poster
Eric, over and over again.
Eric, always the salesman. I love you.
YouTube.com/WeHateMovies. Hit that live tab to get all these old OSLs, because this is old now.
That's right.
Every second goes by, you're aging.
That's right, dude. You've been dead for 10 years.
And also a really healthy chat going on the YouTube thing about everybody's favorite Friday movies and all that fun stuff. It's a fun community.
It's a fun community. Healthy, I'm a little.
listen, so this is weird. It's a Friday afternoon. So we do want to take a look at the numbers, but they're kind of like almost outdated at this point. But I figured out a way to sort of like cap it nicely relevant to this weekend. So this is highest gross. All right. So, yes, this was indeed from last weekend, right? Just to sort of put that out there, because it is Friday. Shit's open, but of course, no numbers on anything. But in at five this past weekend, a film called Push Patoo that
looks
came
awesome.
Out. Yeah, like no, fucking totally radical poster. And then what we're doing business wise here. So 4.9 million. This was actually like on the more decent end of films from India debuting in the US box office. I'd never heard of this, but again, that poster looks fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Anybody out there recommends Pushpa 2? If I haven't seen Pushpa 1, will I be lost? Just want to see if I can get into that, because it looks fucking cool as shit.
I really gotta do because there wasn't like an RRR level Indian movie this year that I was like, everybody's like, go fucking see it. I think it last year or the year before, when you had Jawan and Pathan both in the same year,
that was last year.
Big. And this one, the only one that I've heard of, and I do want to see it really badly, is their Dune remake.
Oh, really?
Kalki 2898 AD, I think it's called. And there's supposed to be also a really good movie called The Adamant Girl that I've been meaning to see. This month is going to be me catching up on everything I haven't seen this year. So I'm like, now finally I can see. And I'll add this one to it now.
It's almost 3.5 hours long.
Holy fucking shit.
Well, that's like on the shorter side for some of those films.
So that's true.
In at four was fucking Red One. Good God in heaven. I'll tell you what, I think this coming week, like, or maybe it's today, actually, it might finally be streaming on Amazon or some shit, because that's where I will become intoxicated and watch that movie.
Oh yeah, you don't see that thing sober,
because I couldn't be like it in public.
Yeah, you gotta get blackout drunk for Red One so you don't remember what happened. I think that's the best.
Right, exactly.
Also, news this week: how unceremonious is it that Chris Evans is just dumped back into the MCU, man. Just
isn't it awesome? Everyone regrets giving up that check. Every single one.
Oh, sure. What? But like, what? What? He actually has surprised me because, like, if the guy is good, yeah. How have you fucked this up so much? Like, is it really does the money fuck up your brain that much?
Yes.
I guess it does. Like, that's
it's money and the praise, I think, is the thing. Is like the adulation of being in the thing that everybody's talking about. Mm-hmm. And that's why you keep chasing it with stuff like Red One. And when you don't get there, you're like, well, I guess I need my training wheels back. You know what I mean? I don't know what to say.
But like, he was more or less a movie star before Captain America. Like, he knows what that's like. I mean, I guess it's just like maybe you've had the taste or something. I just think it's like he's probably just getting offered like Captain America similar roles. And he's like, no, I don't want that. Yeah. But like, I don't know. The dude can definitely do other stuff. He's a charming guy. He's very funny. I mean, get him in fucking comedies. How about like an actual action comedy and not a Dwayne Johnson sucking the life out of all the energy in the movie Christmas action movie.
But you could say the same for Hugh Jackman, you know? Yes. And he went back because now that you have the multiverse, he could just play Captain America again and we could just act like nothing happened.
Well, the weird thing is they must have given him dump trucks to appear even cameo in the upcoming Captain America movie, but he said no. You know, and now all of a sudden Downey does it. It's okay to be in the new one.
Is he Steve Rogers, though? The way that, like, Downey's just going to be Dr. Doom instead?
Who knows? Yeah, with the multiverse, maybe he'll be Johnny Storm. Maybe he'll be whatever, you know?
Sure. Johnny Storm, they did it from Deadpool and Wolverine. Like, I don't know. Part of me is kind of like, at least that character was kind of funny.
Sure.
You know, those movies aren't, you know. Don't get it twisted. I don't think those movies are good.
I mean, Chris, I just like Downey. I'm just surprised he never was like, okay, I have all this clout. I have all this money. Who's a director I would like to work with? And just go to them and be like, I have clout. You can, I can get money to you. What do you want to do? Let's do something.
Well, it's Black Snowpiercer. You know what I mean? That's by the way, somebody in the chat reminded me that Ghosted is the worst thing that I've ever seen. One of the worst movies I've ever seen.
What is
Ghost? Oh, dreadful movie.
Him and Anna de Armas.
Yes. Oh, boy. Woof. It's rough, Eric. I don't know if you could handle it. It's bad stuff.
I could handle that.
Oh, and also, I mean, the Gray Man is abysmal.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So,
and that fucker is long.
He's been on a bad streak. You know what I mean? Like, it's just so now.
Well, actually, here it is, though. No, this is why, like, there's proof. He's fucking great in Knives Out.
Yes,
he's absolutely great in them.
We're on Knives Out 3 already, dude. Like, that was a while ago.
That was when was Knives Out?
2019.
So that's still, I'm just saying, a thing that he did post playing Steve Rogers at that time.
But that was also,
so there's proof that he can do that shit.
Yeah, but he has got to go back to Steve's point about like the praise thing. That was a supporting turn. That was what was good about it, is that he was just a spice.
Yes.
But like, he's so used to being the fucking salt of a movie. Like, I don't know. That's the only thing I can think of, because otherwise it makes no sense.
Has anyone seen this Pain Hustlers?
What?
There's a movie with him and Emily Blunt called Pain Hustlers.
That came out this year, maybe?
2013. Oh. I mean, 2023. But my God, these secret Netflix movies. I would never know. I have Netflix.
That's a David Yates movie, dude. Yes. Our friend from the Harry Potter universe
Legend
of Tarzan and so on.
Boo. It was like the fourth like opiate movie that came out. You know what I mean? Like,
because there was that Michael Keaton TV show on Hulu.
That gets all the steam, which is good. You know? Yeah.
Anyways. Did you watch that?
No, but people liked it.
The chat is sounding off that Pain Hustlers is bad.
Oh, weird.
Oh, wow. A Netflix original movie, bad.
Yes. But it's okay to like it. I don't want anyone coming after me.
Anyway, Gladiator 3. We'll just move right along. Or 2. At number 3. There it is. Gladiator 2 in position 3, where exactly where it was the week before. $12.5 million. Nothing really to report on this movie. It's kind of just like, you know, it's performed fine.
Yeah.
So we don't think did you need to see that poster again, Steve?
We don't think we're gonna. I would like to see the Exodus poster one more time.
No, can I see the Gladiator 2 poster again?
Oh, I deleted it.
Oh no.
I was just gonna point out, this is a terrible poster, right?
Yeah, it's a really bad poster.
It actually looks like a Gladiator 2 version of the was it called Life Itself, the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
Doesn't it kind of look like that? Now I'm going to look at that movie. Yeah.
Well, this is, I this hate segmented this style looking. Of poster yeah. where you have like a three-act structure to your fucking poster.
Yep,
like,
yep, exactly.
Stop it.
Is this like getting Oscar buzz? Probably not, right?
I doubt it.
We think it's just going to flatline. It's just going to make whatever it makes, and that's the end
maybe,
of it.
Maybe they throw Denzel a supporting nod. Maybe.
Possibly, yeah. To get him at the ceremony.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, maybe. So he'll guarantee some attendance. Otherwise, yeah, I don't really know. I don't see it. Like, it's not a failure or anything, but, like, no, maybe, yeah. you know, no, either people didn't like it or it's, like, in one ear, out the other. Mm-hmm. I have yet to see it make anybody's, like, best of list.
Yeah.
Number two, still holding strong, Wicked!
Woo!
Rocking another 34.9 mil. Almost, we're closing in on $500 million globally for this nice. Sucker. So,
you know what? We're weak. The new weekend is starting now, but I honestly don't think Craven is going to do much to change the structure of this.
You don't think so?
No, I don't.
Well, that's what we're going to talk about in just 2 seconds, Chris Cavan. So save it.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Moana 2, which everybody, dude, by the way, we were like, wow, this Moana came out of nowhere. All of these fucking, I don't know if it was like Moana defenders or what, like, well, you knew it was supposed to be a TV series we were getting. And then it was cobbled together to be a movie. And I was like,
no, I did not. All right.
Put the fucking gun down.
I'm not on Moana every week seeing what's going on over there.
Chris, but it's Kevin from IMDb News over here. Who gives a shit? What the fuck do I care? Like, what?
Well, It's a sign that Bob Iger knows what he's doing. You know, they got him back and he's like, why are we not making movies anymore? Yes. Why are we doubling down on a failing streaming service?
I mean, dude, domestically for this movie, it's second week. It's already made $300 million.
Yeah.
Globally, it's already made $600 million. So, like, excellent call. Excellent call if you're running a fucking big fucking movie factory.
Get off of the streamers. And just keep on making sequels, baby. Just pump those fuckers out at a clip.
That's and right. live action,
pump,
baby.
Pump them right all out. Of them. All of them. Just do all of them.
Nothing?
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Back to Chris Cabin's point, this is what I was going to bring into the back end of the conversation. We are indeed on Friday. Craven the Hunter has opened. Now, Chris Cabin, I'm just going to tell you right now, man, the tracking for this movie, between $15 and $20 million. So the only thing here is whether or not it's going to usurp Wicked. It doesn't appear to forecast like it could take the top spot for Moana, but it could take number two for Wicked. And I have to say, listen, I'm seeing it on Sunday. You can go to YouTube right now. Sony posted the first 8 minutes of this movie. Mm. It's just going to be a dipshit bloodbath, dude.
Not a good sign.
I want to see it by myself at some point. I might do it next week. I don't know. I gotta find time.
Under a cloak. Where you just make sure nobody sees you. Takes a picture.
Yes.
I'm gonna go in with my head held high.
Chat points out also Lord of the Rings, The War of the
that's not gonna make a dent.
It'll
be somewhere in the top 10 probably, sure. But I can't see it.
Well, is Jesus in it? Because people like Jesus movies.
People love Jesus.
No Jesus, no talking polar bears.
I can't believe there's no, how is there no big Christian movie coming out right now? Yes. Why aren't we putting like some Christian TV show on the big screen? Why aren't we not doing another one of these movies where kids are getting abducted from parking lots?
Building a live action theater experience in Washington, D.C. currently, Eric, around Pennsylvania Avenue. Yes. You're gonna have a lot of fun with it for 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Looking in at the Thursday numbers, just to give you a little bit of like what weekend's possibly gonna look like Thursday night. So this is money that will roll over into the weekend gross. It'll be counted. Craven the Hunter, $2 million yesterday. Lord of the Rings, $625,000. And the difference screen wise is only 342 screens. Lord of the Rings is on 2,500 screens. Kraven's 2,842.
That's amazing. Wow. Because, like, you would think, since they got the TV show and everything, you would really want to push the Lord of the Rings thing. And, like, it, yep. You don't even have to say the war of the whatever the fuck. You just, you know, just say Lord L-O-T-R. Of the Rings, the new Lord of the Rings movie. And yep. I haven't heard a fucking thing about it other than it's animated.
That's true. Yeah. I feel like it's back. Like, I feel like I'd watch the animated on TV and I'd watch the people act on the movie screen, but yes. It's the opposite.
Yeah. The weird thing, I mean, like, you think about, you know, if you fuck up at your job, right? You know what I mean? Like, oh, shit, I shipped the wrong package to the wrong place. And now the company's out $400. You get, like, fucking fired, right?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Somebody greenlit an entire movie universe that never worked, which is this. The villain, I mean, I guess 2.5 Venom movies can't be wrong. But, I mean, like, everything yeah. else was a total flame fuck disaster.
So Madam Web and Morbius, and then now Kraven. Am I missing anything?
Kraven, they are trying, at least they are putting the R rating in. They have a somewhat respectable director doing it. J.C. Shandor is at least like has a couple like big critical favorites under his belt.
I mean, J.C. Shandor, wasn't that the guy that built the building in Ghostbusters?
Possibly. I don't know for sure, though.
I was like, where the fuck is he going with this? And that was very funny.
I mean, for years now, the finance on this, all of this shit has made no sense.
Yes.
For like years.
Evo now. Shandor.
There it is.
Oh, that his father.
Yes, his father, of course.
That
yes.
was the guy. I don't know. And also, I mean, keep in mind with that Lord of the Rings thing, like, it's Warner Brothers. They don't fucking tell people.
Certainly, they're talking about light money on fire.
They buried, dare I say, at this point now that I've been thinking about this movie like every day for over a month, dare I say they've buried an excellent Clint Eastwood movie. So it's like,
yes.
I don't trust these fucking people to do anything. But that is the situation. I'm curious to see what Kraven does. I will see it Sunday because I need blood. I need violence on screen. Speaking of violence on screen, going to promote the fact that on the 27th, something's coming out that we are not recording until tomorrow, but we are releasing our final commentary of the year on Ang Lee's Hulk, which is movie that I have happily reevaluated over the last couple of years. It's a fun fucker, man.
Good movie.
Good time with this one. So the 27th, that'll be out. I'm very excited. Has anyone rewatched it recently-ish or no?
No, not for a long time.
I watched it about two years ago and then like 3 years before that, and the first one was when I was like, oh, this is good. I think this is a good movie. And then it's like going up there on my ranking of Ang Lee movies at this point. Like it's pretty high up there.
Well, if he keeps making movies like Gemini Man, Hulk's is gonna go higher on that.
Not gonna help things.
And also we did want to point out, you know, it is December the 13th. Christmas Day is coming up. First night of Hanukkah is on the same darn day. It's a big gift giving time. This time of year. And we want to point you to our merch store over on our website, whmpodcast.com. Perfect place for some stocking stuffers, things like mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, laptop cases, phone case, all sorts of shit like that. And the rad thing is from the start of this month, so December 1, 24 through December 25, we're donating all proceeds from our merch store to the Center for Reproductive Rights. Cause you know, shit's getting fucking cold out there, y'all. The chillier it gets, the more we gotta fucking step up and hang out and do what we can. So that is what we'll be doing. So if you're like, man, who's someone at the office that I fucking despise, but I got stuck with him for Secret Santa, the WHM merch store is a great place to find some stuff.
All the kids are talking about it. There's nothing they want more than socks, shirts, shorts with four fat faces on them. Yeah, well, what they've wanted for many years now, and it's a hot item every year.
More than just fat faces. You could get skeleton juice.
Yes.
Drew. If you remember that from some episode, I can't even remember. Was that just the Indiana Jones episode?
It might have been Indiana Jones. Might have been.
And by doing so, you're sticking it to the conservative majority. So congratulations.
WHMpodcast.com. Click on that merch tab. Shit's going toward a good cause. All right. Steve just keeps you just like raising your fist.
I do.
Oh, don't do that. Come on.
Well, I'm in a weird little box.
No, that was
no, you were doing the other
almost the Trump dance.
You can't. Yes. Oh, here's a trailer segment. Oh.
28 years later.
I don't deserve a camera anymore, so I apologize for that.
Behind this, he's doing the Jack and Dick's dance. Yeah, he's doing that.
Progressive Supreme Court Justice 28 years from now.
Oh, man. So, yeah, it is trailer segment. We're talking about 28 years later. The third now that's in like a trilogy, I guess, is the idea of these movies. I barely remember that second one. Is that a good movie?
It's good. It's very good.
I remember the Robert Carlyle opening, and I remember nothing else. But it's the Robert Carlyle opening being really good.
You have to watch it, especially after going through COVID, because there's a lot of those quarantine protocols and stuff in it. Yes. I rewatched it recently, and I love it. I really do like. I like 28 Weeks Later.
Really good Jeremy Renner, like back when he was before the Marvel made him like not care anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I remember like the last shot, like how it ends where like they're getting through the tunnel and they're like getting onto the, you know, the continent kind of a deal there, which is neat.
But Bill didn't direct that. Who directed that? Somebody else.
It's not Garland, but Garland wrote it again. Yeah, no, I saw it one time. I remember Steve, did we see it together at the Village East?
We probably did.
Yeah. Yeah, remembered liking it. I also haven't revisited 28 Days Later and who the hell.
That movie's a classic. To see. Like they made that fucker hard to fucking find if you don't have a DVD or I mean
really?
Yeah, I think it's back in business though.
Now that this is coming out, I assume.
I have an old Blu-ray that's both of them. 28 Days and Weeks.
28 Days Later is probably top five horror movie for me. I absolutely love that movie. So by the way,
watch the sequel.
What one Carlos Fresnadillo, I imagine, directed 28 Weeks Later.
Okay. Actually, Chris, to your point, I'm looking at Just Watch, and this fucker is nowhere to be found.
Yeah. No, it's not. No, it's like
famously a pain in the ass to see if you don't have a copy of it.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's been that way for a while, too. I remember the friends of the show, Blank Check, mentioned this on their episode about the movie. Is like it's just notoriously a difficult movie to watch.
No, 28 Days.
Really? 28 Days? Why wouldn't they have that available?
I have no idea.
Whatever and shit. Yeah, I imagine they'll fix it for, obviously, the synergy of this new movie's coming out.
Get me a 4K of this fucking movie, please. I mean, I don't know how that would work with the way they filmed it. That particular look.
Well, if you could do like a really solid and it's not the exact same thing, I understand, but you could do if they could do that solid remastering of the original Blair Witch that just came out. That's supposed to be like uncannily like great looking. Like if you had the you know the resources, I guess. I'm actually sorry if I appear distracted here. I'm looking up. So that's what I thought. Okay, so that first movie, 28 Days Later, was a Fox Searchlight movie. I was right. Okay, because this new movie, so we're getting to the trailer here.
Got to get the Searchlight out to find this on streaming.
So that's what's weird. It's all owned by Disney now, so I don't understand what the problem is. But anyway, Sony has the rights to this one. So somewhere along the way, something expired, and somebody picked something back up. So who knows? But the 28 Weeks Later is on like Hulu and Disney Plus, so there's clearly just some legal shit happening. But anyway, here we go. 28 years later, I believe I've seen that Ralph Fiennes is in this. I've been keeping kind of away from everything to be surprised for this. But
so the zombie pope, we're thinking, or
we have to elect a new zombie pope, Your Excellence.
Father Zombie will not head up the crescent.
That is just, man. Easily one of my favorite movies of the year.
Already had Zombie Pope, right? Benedict?
Oh, man. Yeah, that guy was fucking tough looking, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we go. Folks, if you're looking to watch along at home, in the episode description is a link to the exact trailer page we're going to be on YouTube here. Also, while you're digging through all that stuff, be sure to give the old thumbs up to this video, subscribe to this channel, and click that notification bell. Because on random fucking weeks like this, where we're broadcasting at the ass opposite end of the week that we normally do, you want to be hip to it. So, all right, dudes, you queued up over there?
I am.
All righty. Here we are. Danny Boyle's 28 years later. The first preview for this sucker out. What is that? Oh, it's out in June of next year. 6/20 is when it comes out. All right, here we go. We'll do on go. 3, 2, 1, go. All right.
Just a normal trailer. I'm liking this.
Oh, ooh, there we go. The Teletubbies. They're what started it all, folks. End of civilization starts.
Yes.
Imagine if they came after you.
Oh yes. Now we're talking. This is a well-done trailer already. Screaming. Yeah.
I love when people scream. One of my favorite things to hear.
You say that often.
I hear police sirens. I follow them, Chris.
Is anybody screaming? Oh, yeah. Are you screaming? Can you tell me where the screams are?
This is appropriate societal breakdown here. I'm loving this.
What's this radio broadcast from the Tennessee Valley Authority in the 1930s?
Oh, yeah.
Was that Kraven the Hunter?
Ooh.
Yeah, dude, Kraven the Hunter.
Yeah, Kraven the Hunter's here.
Everybody's favorite forgotten Spider-Man villain. This is great. This is how you cut an intriguing trailer, man. Oh, yep. Yeah. Yep. Fuck yeah.
Ooh,
yeah, get him back to just writing movies. How about that? Just
men
sucked men. Yes.
Oh, the Raptors are coming.
Yeah. Shoot! Yeah. Skull Tower.
Oh, yeah, it's Ray.
Fuck yes. Dude, if this is like Kraven the Hunter versus Ray Fiennes.
Now, do you think someone's putting up that Skull Tower or the zombies just stacking stuff up?
Oh, I think there was. Person. That's very designed.
Are we sure about that?
What?
What?
Well, we'll talk about it.
All right. Oh, I love a good eerie number thing. Reminds me of Lost. That's cool.
Way into it. That emaciated person is supposed to.
It is not.
It's not. I imagine it's not. That's internet bullshit. Yes. Okay, good.
It just looks like Murphy.
It's
right?
A skinny person. So they're like, oh, it's Killian Murphy.
Are people already saying that?
Yes. Oh, that's everywhere. That's everywhere.
You know, I'll just tell you this, folks. You know who probably doesn't care about Easter eggs? Danny Boyle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know who's probably just concentrating on making the movie he's making? Danny Boyle.
Because I think Killian Murphy is in it at some point, but they don't think.
Is that right? 28 years after?
Yeah.
I guess it's been 28 years since the first goddamn movie.
Which is chilling.
Yeah, so he'd be a very old man, but yes.
Just about, but yeah.
Actually, he'd be like,
he'd be him now.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He'd be, yeah.
That far, because it was what, 2002, so yeah. You know, we're 22. It's only a 6-year difference. It would be feasible for him to just look like himself.
Yeah, Killian Murphy
get him in that Oppenheimer makeup when he gets the award.
Oh, dude, and that would just be like the ravages of living in like a zombie society, you know.
Killian Murphy listed as Jim in the IMDb. So there.
Well, IMDb doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
This
dude, if it's a bad...
found out that John C. McGinley isn't fucking, it's that's the guy, right? That's the one where your faith broke, right?
Okay, yes, you're mentioning. I forget which actress. It was one of the actresses from The Goonies. Her IMDb profile says she's been married and has children with John C. McGinley, and that is apparently completely false.
No, not at
I
all.
Just don't that's understand weird. Why you're shipping the girl from The Goonies and John C. McGinley.
This was the one that really stuck with you. All the lies that we read on IMDb nonstop. This one
is
really
false.
Dug into your brain.
It's false. It's a lie machine. Don't trust it.
We got some stuff to review. Some television programs that we've been getting in front of our eyeballs here. A couple things to talk about that I think are kind of interesting. I think first up, we'll start with speaking of fucking delicious violence, you guys. This James Gunn Creature Commandos on Max, 3 episodes are out already. Just watched that third one this morning. Steve Sadek, you're the comic guy. What do you think, man?
It's just not for me. It's almost for me. I know.
God,
I know.
Fucking damn it.
Sorry. Actually, the last episode was the best of the three and actually might change my opinion. I'm definitely now I thought I was done. And then the third one was like, no, you probably want to stick around. So I might come back for 4 and I might have a different opinion. Here's something. I don't need to see cartoons fuck ever again. I'll just be completely honest. I don't need to see it. I don't need to, like,
sure.
I mean, like, sure, like characters in anything can and should fuck, but like the painstaking animation of big fat titties is just not what's going to get me up for a new cartoon show.
This is an internet show. We do. Listen, guys, you want to watch the cartoons fuck, that's fine. That's fine. It's okay. Watch.
I mean, it's not like Rick Flagg Sr.'s huge juicy schwanz was fucking plowing the girl from Borat 2. It's a fucking 8-second sex scene.
Yes, it is. Well, no, that, and then Madame Frankenstein's getting up to some fucking in that episode, too.
Oh, right.
It was a very fucky episode. That's why
I only got to the first one. I didn't get to the other ones, and I thought it was fine. I thought there was good humor. I liked the music.
It's very funny.
But I was a little disappointed because I didn't realize we were just doing the Suicide Squad again.
That's kind of also my issue-ish with it, is it just feels like it's Suicide Squad under a different name, and I actually care about the characters from, like, DC lore much less than I did about any of the Suicide Squad characters. So that's
also
kind of part of it.
They just did the Suicide Squad anime. Just came out on Max.
Can I ask you, Chris, are you seeing any big old titties in that?
Well, I want you to give a guess here, Eric. It's anime.
Yes, anime. So, obviously, there's probably some type of troll-esque monster.
There's some chatter in the chat. I want to be clear. I'm not against big fat titties. I am against painstakingly animating big fat titties.
Sure. Well, you're not the one doing the animation, so what's the fucking problem?
So you're just against.
You're acting like you're there fucking marker to pen every fucking. Oh, this painstaking titty I got to draw.
Yes.
I got to get these titties on the boss's desk by 5 o'clock.
Someone missed dinner to draw those titties, okay?
True.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
They're going hungry tonight, but they'll have cartoon milk instead, I guess.
These animators, you know what? They have it too good. That's the truth of the situation.
Oh, yeah. The fucking lavish life of a goddamn cartoon animator. I don't know. All right. I'll be the fucking lone gunman here. I think this is excellent. I think it's funny as fuck. I really love the animation style, all the character design. I love the violence. I love the fucking titties, man. It is a cartoon for adults. Yes. And listen, James Gunn, man, you know, he wrote and directed the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Fucking funny. The writing is so good. The comedy is just right there. I think I've been like fucking whistling through all 3 episodes. I had a really good time so far.
Again, I am probably going to keep going. I like every episode has this big musical action sequence that they have. It's a really cool thing. Yeah. It's really well animated. The action scenes are good. I like the GI robots, a lot of fun. Dr. Phosphorus, Alan Tudyk as Dr. Phosphorus is a lot of fun. There's stuff there. And I mean, I like Madame Frankenstein and stuff. It's just sort of like, I can kind of see where we're going. And I'm just like, again, like I don't have as much skin in the game DC Comics wise for these characters. And I also think also what kind of bugs me, I think Frank Grillo does not a great job doing voice acting. Sorry.
It's been weird because, like, you know, he was.
And I like him.
Yeah. Not to bring up a fucking sore subject here for half of his, but he was on the second season of Tulsa King, and he's solid as like the foil in the season. And so I've recently I've heard recent Frank Grillo speaking, and for the cartoon I was like, this kind of, I don't know if he's like modded or something. It sounds like not as like harsh as Frank Grillo normally sounds. So I don't know what the heck that was about.
Switch to tea. That's what, no more coffee, just get some tea in there and that'll ease the vocals.
Maybe that's what he's doing. He's like, oh man, I just need a lot of honey. We leave the cigarettes out the studio. You know, we're not going to be doing that. I just think it's been really cool to see Gunn's, like Steve, you said, with like the action sequences set to music, his style go into animation. I don't know if he's been affiliated with much animation elsewhere. I'm sure he has. Mm-hmm. I just didn't see it. But it's just been delightful, I think. And also, like, it's a thing for me. Yes, it is just a Suicide Squad thing. I just kind of, like, always assumed that's what it was going to be. So that didn't surprise me. And also, I don't give a shit about Suicide Squad. So, like, if you... And not that I dislike... Gunn's one is definitely better than the David Ayer one and everything like that. But
oh, for sure.
It's just not, like, I haven't returned to it. It's not a property I care about. So I was kind of like... All right, yeah, do it again. Oh, you're fucking being incredibly violent and, you know, killing
and maybe
things.
That's actually part of it is I really like Gun Suicide Squad. And I guess this is him kind of making a sequel to it because nobody else would allow him to. So good on him.
If you want to talk about delicious violence, my sweet Jesus Christ, the Gun Suicide Squad is just wall to wall, like the best violence I've seen.
And Peacemaker is pretty good too.
Yes, Peacemaker. I've only watched one or two episodes of that, but
I want to be clear. I don't hate this thing. I'm just sort of a little bit on it. That's all.
Yeah, yeah. I'm really pumped for that Peacemaker too. By the way, whenever that comes out. I don't know. We'll be following along. See, maybe it falls off a huge cliff. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Little bit of a slower start, and I think only two of us have watched this, but the Skeleton Crew, the Star Wars program that is out right now with Jude Law and a bunch of little children.
Andrew, could you put that poster back up?
Yes, I can.
Oh there my God! I guess gotta look at the little bit of chest I get here.
Oh no! You open. Look at that
stupid, sexy pirates.
How do you? I mean, is that V? Is that naturally occurring? Well, that
probably. Okay. I feel people have that. No.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Look, folks, dropping tomorrow or next Tuesday. See, it's Friday. It's not Monday. Next week we have the episode on the holiday coming out. Yeah. You definitely see less of this dude's forehead. Like where the V is, that's a longer V here than it was in 2006 for sure. And the great thing is, it doesn't matter none. He's still fucking gorgeous.
Oh my God, forget about it, man. Yes. Okay.
So Eric Siska, you not as hip to the chillins here and all that stuff?
Well, I mean, I'm fine with Star Wars being for children, by children, or whatever.
Maybe.
Because it's a kid. Yeah. It's ultimately a kid's property. Ultimately, sure. And my problem with the Skeleton Crew is you basically get zero Jude Law for two episodes. There's only seven or eight of these things, and we already have two episodes without him, pretty much. And the kids, they're fine. I think all their little kid acting and all that's fine. But it's grating on me because it just feels like we're trying to do the Goonies. We are leaning into this Goonies stuff.
Oh no!
And
it's
just it's grating. It's obnoxious. But finally, episode three, which I watched this morning, is way better, I think, because we're actually kind of getting somewhere with this.
Can I ask?
Disney fucked up. I wrote them a letter. I was like, please create a show wherein I can goon to Jude Law. I said, please, I want a goon to Jude Law.
Sure.
And then they mixed it up, and now it's Goonies with Jude Law.
I know,
I wanted a goon to the guy. Come on.
I mean,
come on.
You have the talented Mr. Ripley, which is Goonfest, like 99. That is just, it is a beautiful piece right there. Mm-hmm. I mean, I do have a question. Maybe, Eric, maybe you know this. Do you know which one of them Lowry directed? Because I really like David Lowry.
Yes, he directed
Two and three? Okay, I'll show up for that.
The third one really is pretty good, I will say. Go ahead.
What's the timeline? Where are we here?
It's New Republic. It's after the events of the Galactic Civil War at some point.
Okay.
But yeah, no, Jude Law plays, he's got multiple names, multiple aliases. Jodna Nawood, I think, is one of them, right? That's his...
Jonah Wood. Yeah, that's my little dumb name.
Jonah gave me wood. Got it.
Jonah gave me wood. And he's also one of his aliases is Crimson Jack, which is interesting because we're taking something from old Star Wars and bringing it up to code, I guess. But because Crimson Jack was in the Marvel series in the 70s as a pirate.
That's cool.
Crimson Jack because he had a big red beard, which we don't have here. Right. So I don't know if he's impersonating him or what is going on there, or we're just changing the canon. Although they recanonized, I think, Crimson Jack around the Force Awakens timeline to be in some comic book. So they brought him back with the red beard. So it's kind of weird to name drop Crimson Jack here.
I could feel this one, Eric. Actually, he shaved the beard off after Sienna Miller and him went separate ways. You just new start. Got to get back in the game. You know,
sure.
Nothing for a while.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. Like the Goonies of it all. Like it's obviously there, but I think it's through by a weird way of. I would argue this is more like Amblin than like direct Goonies. I mean, but it's like Goonies and Pirates. Like I totally get it. I found these kids to be a little softer than like the hard, like no one's like swearing or anything.
Yeah.
It's not like that.
Right, it's not as good as the Goonies.
Yes, that's precisely what I was saying. Thank you. you know, and it's I think it starts off kind of cool. Like, you're on this planet and it's very much just like Star Wars suburbs. And that in itself is weird because, like, the track housing or whatever, it looks like shit that you would see in, like, the neighborhood from E.T., the neighborhood from Poltergeist. But now it's just in Star Wars. And you've got the great fucking Tunde Adebimpe from TV on the Radio playing, like, this nerdy father with possibly some secrets. Like, so I like that. Because I've said it a lot, right? Like, I would love to see more, like, normie Star Wars living. That's about as normie as it gets, which is kind of neat.
Right.
And it's very much like, the thrust of it is like these little kids, they think they found a Jedi temple buried on the outskirts of their town, and they like dig into it. And you as the adult, you're watching it and you're like, this is a starship. And then the adventure is like they accidentally turn on like an autopilot thing and they get like taken out into space and they have no idea where they are. So it's like a neat little adventure thing. And Law, as this pirate sort of like, you know, ruffian kind of guy, he so rarely gets to escape out of Jude Law mode these days. And like, it's really great. Like, when he played, man, that abysmal whatever that fucking Peter Pan movie was where he was Captain Hook. He was Peter in the Pan one where it was like Captain Hook used to be a lost boy like us, so remember, all villains used to be your friends. Like, it was that shit and it was awful. And so I feel like this is a time for him to like make up for that.
Yeah, I will just quick cape for still in theaters, The Order with Jude Law.
Excellent
performance from him in that. Really like cool crime drama. Didn't love it, but I really liked it. So it's a strong recommend. Go out and see it.
Well, go ahead, Eric, please.
No, I mean, I imagine Jude Law's in that film for the entire time. I've only had like 30 minutes of screen time with this guy so far. So
I didn't know you were such a Law fanatic.
Oh yeah,
because what else do I have to grasp on here? I don't know. I do like that they brought back the Wolfman is now recanonized. Thank God.
Yeah, dude, the Wolfman and his underling Jaleel White, which is pretty wild. Mm-hmm. Didn't expect that. The Wolfman makeup looks fucking sweet. Like, the mask is like somewhat animatronic, looks kind of cool. The little kid that's like the he's the little version of the little keyboard player guy, the little blue elephant looking guy. What's his
name? Yes, Max Rebo. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. He looks like a little Max Rebo guy. That kid doing the voice, not the physical performance, but the voice is the kid who is in that Jack Black Dear Santa movie.
Oh, boy. Huh. Okay.
So yeah, he's having a little bit of a year here.
Sure.
I'm just always excited when we get into like pirates and stuff like that in Star Wars. But then it's like, how about that's in the background and this little kid screaming?
Yeah.
For fucking 80 minutes.
I mean, that's I think Law is moving into a nice like character actor phase now. Yep. I think he's just going to go into it and like have fun, because he does look I've seen the trailer for The Order, he looks older and he looks someone was mentioning like he's kind of taken like the Hackman route now, like
it is
these it's tough roles where he's like the tough guy but doesn't necessarily look a little prettier than you would think
he's very gruff. He's got a mustache. Ooh,
maybe. Hell yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
I
think the Acolyte was better, but I know no one agrees with me. But
you know, there's not a group of women in that movie trying to make decisions, so that, you know, that's why no one's complaining about Skeleton Crew in that same way. Although there's a very like feisty, you know, 13-year-old who's like the leader of the group, and she's a girl. So I'm sure some asshole on the internet's gonna have a problem with that.
We're on YouTube right now streaming. Let me just search it for Skeleton Crew woke. Let's see what comes out.
Oh boy.
Yep. The woke bait and switch.
There's a black on this show. Of course, I've been baited and switched again.
Oh, this is a thumbnail that says flop.
Oh, he's a TV on the Radio. We should go back to the radio.
I should say also.
Oh my God, look at this. There's one that's thumbnail that says they hate white men.
Well, Jude Law's on the fucking show. Woke Watch, The Order. I full throw to recommend it.
Yeah.
Be careful, guys, because he does fight white supremacists in that movie. It might be upsetting for some older viewers.
Why is he fighting the good guys?
Doesn't Jude Law become a white supremacist then? But de facto, right? He just
against them, which is so weird.
But he's in a movie where they exist and they say things, right? So I mean, clearly
he's against
them. They're both are like positive.
So anyway, we'll keep up with it. The first episode was also John Watts, who, you know, I haven't liked everything he's done, but he's a competent guy. So two pretty seasoned directors at the gate. All right, so we're coming up to 1 o'clock here. We got this lightning round of Christmas crap that we wanted to throw out in front of people here. Steve, you and I think have been really jumping onto these more than the other two fellas, but we'll see if you guys have seen any of these. Obviously, weigh in. First up, talked about it a lot. If you were at our Boston show, real quick, we'll go over it again. Hot Frosty.
Oh boy.
Well, you would, your talk about this really inspired me to watch it the second I got home. So
did I do a good job selling it for
Yes,
you?
It's ridiculous. And I'm surprised Lacey Chabert was let out of the Hallmark domicile for this one.
I think you know what that was, dude. You remember like back in like golden era of Hollywood, right? Mm-hmm. They used to like loan talent out to different studios. Yep. I swear, I'm like, Hallmark was like, okay, sure, for like an extra like $25,000 penalty, you can have her in Hot Frosty.
I would like to see like the Succession episode where they're like, Netflix wants Lacey. We'll meet at the 58th ranch I own, and we'll talk about this for an hour.
Yeah,
I liked this. For it's this,
bunkers,
For this kind of stuff, I think this is about what I want from it. What's his Dustin Milligan is like an actually funny guy. So
he's really funny. I mean, if you don't, he was Ted on Schitt's Creek. Yeah. Fucking hysterical.
Still haven't seen it.
You're fine.
Oh,
but it's silly. It's fun.
It's a fun show. Yeah, it's stupid and fun.
I mean, I watched Schitt's Creek. I haven't seen Hot Frost.
So the other thing too to keep in mind when you're going like Netflix movie, these kinds of movies on Netflix, there's more money there. So like you have things like real songs and real actors and shit. So Steve, this one, you got to explain this one to me, man. Believe in Christmas.
This is like the nadir of the shit poster. I feel like the Hallmark Channel has really fallen off this year. And I'm going to be honest.
Really?
It's becoming self-aware, which is the problem. It's
that's
like
what happened to Lifetime. Yep.
It just, it knows what it is. Like this movie is about a woman who her friend is really into Christmas. She's like an orphan, so she's not into Christmas. She gets dragged to a town that is Christmas town, wherein people will give you Hallmark-esque experiences. There's like fake actors like The Game in it.
That sucks.
And like this guy starts flirting with her and she doesn't know if he's real or not. It sounds so much better than it is because the movie never establishes the rules of who is a liar and who's not a liar. Like it never comes up. You never like find out who's lying until the very end. And it's like totally inconsequential characters. It's a total waste of time, but it is so like, oh no, we just had we were baking cookies. We threw flour at each other. Isn't that like those Christmas movies we all like? And it's like, fuck off.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sucks. A little better than that. Back to Netflix. Keep this lightning round going. The Merry Gentlemen. With Chad Michael Murray and some other woman, Britt Robinson.
As I've been calling it, Mary Mike.
you and a lot of folks, because it is indeed Magic Mike type stuff. So it's basically she goes back to her parents' bar, which, dude, count how many times in this movie they're saying the name of the place, the Rhythm Room.
Ooh,
oh,
like
man,
that.
We got to save the Rhythm Room. And basically, like, this woman is a... It's kind of great because we did not get licensing to say Rockettes, but she's a Rockette who gets fired for being old and goes home. The Rhythm Room's going out of business. She decides, oh, great idea. We'll do an all-male review. No fucking nudity, just shirts only. And that will like bring business to the Rhythm Room so we can pay off $30,000 in debt. So it's like a standard Christmas story thing with sexy dancing.
It's funny because they took of the three Merry Mikes that are the Magic Mikes you could have gone for. You went for what I think is probably the worst of the three, but is still a good movie, is the last one. Because that's literally like he goes to Salma Hayek and Hayek is taking over a space. And that's how she fills the space. It used to be a theater space. And now she's weird. It's going to be a all male review with Magic Mike.
Personally, I don't think we should be doing sins with Christmas.
Thank you.
Really?
I don't think you should be busting out anything.
Well, you'll be glad to know, dude. It's pretty, aside from the sexy dancing, it's pretty, nothing else is going on.
But you know, when you're sexy dancing, you don't realize this, but Jesus is watching.
Eric, do you have your Bible near you? Because I know it needs it for the protection to work. It has to be close.
All right. Well, I'll have to go dig it up.
All right. We got two more here. We're running late. Do two more. The Christmas Letter, Steve. What on earth is this shit?
This is like some sort of a tax dodge. I don't know what's going on. Our lead and his entire family are all Australian that are pretending not to be. So the accent for half the movie, you're like, what's happening? It was filmed in Utica. It's about this guy that
gets, wow, I never thought I'd hear that said out loud.
That's crazy.
It's a film where this guy gets a Christmas letter from his rich British friend every year, and it makes him feel bad. So after losing his job, he takes out his 401k, which is a terrible idea, and puts it into making this year the best year ever so I can write the best Christmas letter. It's hilariously got Chevy Chase, Randy Quaid, they let out of the booby hatch.
Wow.
They found him?
Yes,
he was still on the run.
I'm not gonna lie to
you. The Whackers got to get him.
Go back
now
to the poster. He looks kind of good. Like, for what you would expect Randy Quaid to look like now, he looks kind of good.
I didn't even notice. Oh, yeah. I recognized Chevy Chase immediately. I did not recognize him.
Because he doesn't look like Randy Quaid. That's why.
And like, they're all in it for like one scene each just to say that they got these guys in, even though they're top billed. And they do, there's a zoom between Chevy Chase and Randy Quaid that makes no sense in the movie.
How beautiful.
But they had to do it. And it is not Nick Offerman. He's a weird Aussie dude. That's all I'm going to say.
Do you think, like, this dude saw this poster and he was like, hey, mate, take two. Can I not look like fucking Golem on the poster for my own movie? Good.
He's such a reprehensible character. I can't even get over it.
Does look like he's on the other end of a bender. Like,
he does.
Like, you don't think this actor's going to go anywhere?
Probably not. No.
I don't think so.
700 episodes of Neighbors, probably. All right. So I was fucking Dr. Lifetime or Netflix, apparently. Here's the last one. Our Little Secret. With Lindsay Lohan and other guy. This is a she and him were together. They were like childhood besties, and like he does a really douche chill proposal on Christmas Eve when she's like already like planning to move for work or whatever. 10 years go by, they haven't seen each other. Uh-oh, they're dating. Their new partners are each like, she's dating a dude and he's dating a lady, and the dude and the lady are brother and sister. And we met at at Christmas, basically, is the idea.
From the director of Critters?
Dude, it's a Stephen Herrick movie, which helps it though, because Stephen Herrick, and not just Critters, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, he's a real journeyman director. It helps these ridiculous, like, boilerplate cookie cutter movies if there's a real director attached.
Yeah, every time.
This feels a little better. But yeah, I don't know. Like, it's Lindsay Lohan. She's kind of back. Like, she's good in this. It's
okay.
It's totally charming. You got funny enough, speaking of our episode on Deck the Halls that was out this week, which I'll just plug as I continue to talk about this. But Kristen Chenoweth, also in Our Little Secret, playing a nasty mother-in-law.
Are eventually, like, I'm looking at it right now, folks. We are eventually going to have to do every single Stephen Herrick movie.
Yeah, sure.
This is just nuts.
It's a filmography to beat the band.
It's crazy. And we've done a few. We've done quite a few already, but God.
We Herrick movies.
That's what the H is going to stand for.
That's right.
The Mark Wahlberg rock star movie, which we have been, we do need to do.
Yeah, I saw that in theaters. I did. he's got a bunch of fucking stinkers we could talk about for ages, but that is just a little taste of some holiday shenanigans that we've been putting ourselves through over here. But that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, this week's episode was, of course, Deck the Halls. Make sure you're catching up on that. You can do so ad-free on the Patreon, patreon.com/wehatemovies, where also just yesterday, the December edition of Melrose 210 came out. And you better believe we're talking about street racing and a secret agent having sex with Jake. That's been hired by Amanda's father.
It's
having
wonderful
sex with Kathy Ireland is the greatest revenge, as we all know.
Got his ass.
Poor guy.
Yep, got him real good. But then after the weekend, folks, yes, we'll be back for the winter finale of On Screen Live, regularly scheduled time Monday at noon Eastern. And next week the programming continues. Of course, we are talking the holiday, like we mentioned. That'll be the We Hate Movies entry for Tuesday. Then over on the Patreon, we got back-to-back releases on Thursday and Friday this week. First up on Thursday, it's the Gleep Glossary. We're talking about Bug Guy Zuckus.
Yeah.
That's more like it.
And then if you thought the bug guy was disgusting looking, check out the little drummer boy. These horrendous little stop-motion creatures are part of our December Animation Damnation discussion. Yeah, it's closer to a horror movie than you remember, folks. I'll tell you that much. So that's it. Patreon.com/WeHateMovies for all that good stuff. Remember, we will be back Monday, regularly scheduled time, for one more On-Screen Live before the end of the year. But that's it, y'all. Have a great weekend. Until next time, I've been Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadek.
Eric Siskin.
Chris Cabin.
Bye-bye.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.